Today we've begun something new, for the new church liturgical year starts with this first Sunday in Advent. Our English word Advent comes from a Latin phrase, advenire, which means to come to. It's the idea of a journey that is ongoing. It hasn't finished. It started. We're in the journey, but the journey is in process. And implied in that idea of this journey is waiting. We are waiting for something to happen. Just like the remnant of the Israelites in the Old Testament were waiting for the Messianic age to arrive, we who live in that Messianic age are waiting in the time between that first coming of Jesus Christ and his second coming. But what are we waiting for? More importantly, how can we grow spiritually through our waiting? All of us have to wait. In fact, a rather large portion of our lives is spent in waiting. In my reflection about waiting and my question, what purpose does waiting serve? In preparation for Advent this year, I listened to a lecture on the spirituality of waiting by the late Father Henri Nouwen, a renowned Belgian theologian and spiritual writer. And his lecture forms the core of what I want to share with you over these four Sundays in Advent. This waiting of which I speak is not about keeping oneself busy during waiting, reading a magazine in the doctor's office, working a crossword puzzle, or reading a book on an airplane, but rather the spiritual quality or the lack thereof that is contained in our waiting. We begin with the premise that waiting for God is central and a basic stance in our spiritual lives. This is the first notion of waiting that I would like to explore with you. And the backdrop that I'm going to use is the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke. The first people we meet in Luke's Gospel are waiting people: Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist; Mary, the mother of Jesus; Simeon and Anna, the old prophets, who meet the infant Jesus when he is presented in the temple by Mary and Joseph. And all of these people are waiting people. The second notion or idea about waiting, which we will explore during the latter part of Advent, is God's waiting. The waiting of God. Have you ever thought that God waits for something? God does. And the backdrop I will use for this is the last chapters of Luke's Gospels. Waiting in Jesus' life was very important to him. And when we read the story of the Passion, death, and resurrection, we realize that Jesus was waiting. So was the Father. So was the Holy Spirit. Waiting is not very popular. Even though farmers wait for the seed to grow and the mother waits for the baby in her womb to be born, and even though a large part of our lives is spent waiting, waiting is not something that most of us look forward to. In fact, most people consider waiting a waste of time, a barren wasteland, an unpleasant place between where I am right now and where I want to be. Mass shootings, acts of terrorism, unsettling politics in our country are fresh in our minds. The situation in which our society is currently living makes waiting even more difficult because we're fearful. One of the most pervading emotions of fear, whether it's spoken or forms sort of a hazy fog, doesn't make any difference. It hangs. Fear in waiting hangs. fear of the unknown, fear of other people, fear of my own inner feelings, fear for the future, all of these facets of fear we face today in our society. Waiting, difficult enough in itself, is even worse when you're afraid. Waiting it out when fear screams at you to get away is a horrible place to be. This is another reason why waiting can be so difficult for people. And again, though, so much of our lives are spent in waiting. But instead of being empty or just busy, how can waiting be a means of spiritual growth? How can we grow where we are right now and not be afraid? As I said earlier, the opening theme of the good news in Luke is one in which we meet waiting people: Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Simeon, and Anna. And all of these people either hear or experience in some spiritual way the insight that they're not to be fearful. The angel tells Zechariah, "Do not be afraid." Mary is told by the angel Gabriel, "Do not be afraid." And each time the angel says this, it is followed by that angel sharing good news. These people were waiting for something new to happen to them, and they're symbols of the waiting Israel. Our reading from Isaiah today speaks of waiting for God to establish the new Jerusalem. And as we peruse the Psalms, as we read the Psalms, we find waiting. Psalm 31, verse 1. O God, you are my God whom I seek. For you my flesh pines, and my soul thirsts, as in a desert, lifeless and without water. The call to inner waiting, to spiritual waiting, comes in Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the dawn. Although the Old Testament rings with songs of waiting, not all the people were waiting. In fact, very much of the criticism given by the prophets was directed at the people of God for giving up the mindset of waiting that they were supposed to have, giving up the attentiveness to what was coming. From the prophet Zephaniah, in your midst I will lead a humble and lowly people, and those left in Israel will take refuge in the Lord. Waiting finally becomes the attitude of the remnant of Israel. And we see that in this small group at the beginning of Luke's gospel. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and the others are representatives of that remnant continuing to wait, continuing to be active, continuing to be attentive, and to live exponentially. But what is it that made their waiting something spiritual? What was in the nature of their waiting that drew them ever closer to the presence of God in the midst of that waiting? Well, first of all, these people in the first chapters of Luke are waiting with the purpose of promise. They had received a promise, and that promise allowed them to wait. Zechariah finally breaks forth into praise when John the Baptist is born. God has come to the help of Israel according to God's promise. When Mary greets Elizabeth, Mary speaks of that promise. In the temple, Simeon speaks of the promise. The people who are waiting have received a promise that enabled them to wait. They had received something that was at work in them, like a seed that has started to grow. You see, you and I can wait spiritually only if what we are waiting for has already begun within us, if it contains the seed of promise. Just like the farmer who waits for the harvest because the seed has been planted, and the mother waits for her baby because the seed in her has begun to grow. So where is the promise from God in you, in me? Is it tucked away, hidden? Or is it central, right in the middle of our lives? Waiting in a spiritual way is never empty. It always moves from something now to something greater, from something already present to an even greater presence. Mary, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and the others were waiting with that promise, the promise of the redemption of Israel, with a faith in the nearer presence of God. And that nurtured them. That fed them. That made them able to stay where they were so that it could grow and develop. So many times when we flee from where we are, we flee from the opportunity to grow. To grow spiritually in those circumstances. And you know, when we finish fleeing, we find ourselves still facing that from which we fled. Because unless we learn to deal with the baggage that we fled from, it remains an awful weight to bear wherever we grow. There are two main characteristics to kingdom people: obedience to the Father through Jesus and doing their best to live their lives in the moment. Not for the moment, but in the moment, no matter the circumstances. Whatever surrounds them, they are present to that moment. The kingdom, as it exists for them in this particular circumstance, in this moment, at this particular time, is what they live. That's spiritual waiting. Waiting with a sense of promise. A promise already alive and growing. And this promise nurtures them so that in their waiting, they are able to grow from grace to grace. Living in the moment in this manner is sanctification. That stuff of grace and redemption. This is living Christ the best I can at this time, at this moment. This was the waiting of the remnant. Waiting without fear. Waiting expectantly with the sure knowledge that something greater is about to happen. You and I are called to wait with the confidence and sure knowledge that the Holy Spirit is already alive and active in us. And through the Spirit and in Christ, we can grow even in our waiting. During this coming week, I invite you to pray and reflect on this first facet of waiting. Waiting with a sense of promise. Is waiting in my life fearful? Is it painful? Is it boring? Is it a void? Or is it hopeful and peaceful? How can I begin to live in the moment? What and where is God's promise in my life? How can I wait with a sense of God's promise? How can I grow spiritually in